This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, August 31st. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael Kay.
My little golden retriever just came into the room.
I'd like to say good evening to Don.
I was happy with the way I looked.
And I'd like to say good evening to myself.
I don't think people want to see me in OnlyFans.
Right. A lot happens during the course of one program. Am I right?
You can't miss really a minute. And if you do, it's irresponsible.
So much does happen on this program. You're so right about that, Michael.
You know, Steve Brzezinski.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's a great guy. And they pointed out something very, very interesting, both Steve and Shining Wizards Kevin, in that you can see why Don and Dan don't get along. Dan can't cook. Don can't function without Nancy. Dan can't function without his wife.
Oh, yeah,
they probably
useless.
Both don't know how to use an ATM card.
Yep.
So there's that connection. But good spot with Dan. Good spot.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah.
All right, so speaking of things you can't miss on the show, this happened earlier today. Now, first, let's hear all the pressure on the New York Mets today.
Whoa.
Really a lot. I mean, the day started with Javi Baez being asked in the pregame if he regrets what he said with the thumbs down situation.
I mean, I didn't mean to offend anybody. This is something that I've done in the past against the other team. I did it in LA to the dugout. I might say something wrong about I was booing the fans. And I really meant like boo me now, like, and not to the fans, to our dugout, because I've done it with the other team against other teams, but like I never seen it the same fans, and like I didn't say the fans are bad. Like I love the fans, but like I just felt like we were alone. Like the fans obviously wants to win, and like they pay our salary, like everybody says, but like we want to win too. Like, and the frustration got to us, and you know, I didn't mean to offend anybody, and if I offend anybody, you know, we apologize, and I won't lose anything with that, you know, and like we just try to move forward and leave this in the back.
Kind of convoluted.
Listen, I'm not mad at Javi Baez. Got to get out there and do what you can do at this point. The damage was done. Got to do the best you can. But there was a lot of abity, 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 abity going on right there, no?
Well,
I say that with all due respect.
He's trying to explain it away and saying he was really doing it to his dugout, but he wasn't. He said he was doing it to the fans. And he's just trying to extricate himself from a kind of a sticky situation. And
yeah, extrication.
Yeah.
I understand. You'd want to extricate yourself from a situation like that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And when your boss tells you you're better, you're better.
Yeah, it's not what you want. Now, Lindor, you want to hear Lindor, who was asked about it as well?
Yeah.
We don't have to stay with it the whole time, but let's hear from Lindor. He was asked about the thumbs down thing.
So it was to the dugout. Thumbs down for me means adversity. The adversity we have gone through in this whole time, like the negative things, we overcome it. So it's like we did it. We went over it. However, it was wrong, and I apologize to whoever I offended. It was not my intent to offend people. I can't go against the fans. I've never done it in my career. We play for the fans, like Javi said. Javi said we play for the fans, and he's 100% right for our teammates, for the front office.
Yeah, that's enough. I mean, listen, I'm not mad at them. They did what they had to do, but they're basically just there was a gun pointed to their head. You have to apologize to the fans. You cannot do this.
You know what? Even if those apologies never took place, Peter, ever, they just, you know, they doubled down. Well, we said what we did. We're not going to do it anymore, but we did what we did, right? Mm-hmm. What happened in that first game, more of that happens, all is forgiven. That's just how fans are. Fans are used to being abused, and they'll take it as long as your team wins.
So I'm glad you brought up what happened later. Let's hear Gary Cohen's call, the end here of the big Mets win.
And Conforto slashes one the other way. Base hit! That ties the game! Alonso in! Baez digging for third. It's kicked by Alfaro. Here comes Baez! Trying to score! He scores! And the Mets win it! Turn those thumbs around! Javi Baez races home with a winning run! And the Mets win it 6-5!
Now, listen. Big win. Big win. Like the turn the thumbs around part. Not my favorite Gary call. That was a little weird in the middle. I don't know. It's like he lost his wind or something. It happens. Listen, it can't be perfect every time. But the hard part for Gary here is we have such an apples-to-apples comparison with a great broadcaster. Because about 90 seconds after the game ended in real time, I saw the end of the game, and here's what it sounded like when I called it. And Conforto goes the other way to left! Yeah, you're right. It's a tied game, but now it's a bobble. They bobble it. Oh, Baez will come in and be safe. Mets win. Wow. I got to tell you, what a beautiful call.
I'm glad Gary's in the middle of a long-term deal.
Yeah, you got to think that. He struggled with his. Mine was gorgeous.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
I wasn't caught up with things like who the left fielder was, you know? But the bottom line is, you know exactly what happened there. A big win for the Nye Mets. Congratulations.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot happened today. You know, what a day for us to miss Don. What a Metsy show.
You know Don was doing a show in his own mind, though, what he would say.
Well, that's the funny thing about Don. You know he took off, but he listened to the show probably and also watched every moment of that game. Like, flush it.
Because he has a responsibility. He's back behind the mic tomorrow. With his usual 70%.
He's very good.
Who, Don?
Yeah. He sees everything.
He does.
So, in case you did not know.
Except a barber.
That he does not do.
How about Jody defending the hair?
She says she loves it. Jody told me she loves Don's hair.
Yeah, I was stunned when that
I don't know. Between that and the way they were dancing on the dance floor, Michael, maybe something to keep an eye on there.
No, I'll keep an eye on that.
I'm just saying.
These locks could be changed at a moment's notice.
We know. One slip, one accidental moment.
Done.
Done. Locks changed. She comes
Children
home.
Children taken to another location. You'll never see him again.
Now, what would happen faster if Jody and Don hooked up?
Right.
Would you change the locks on the door or make the phone call to have Don removed from the show? What would happen faster? I mean, listen.
Locks on the door.
Yeah, because you can't necessarily control him getting fired. That's not necessarily in your purview.
No, I can't control anybody getting hired or fired here.
You could make a phone call
over and over.
Right, you could. I know. You could try to push for it, but the lock's changing. You could do that.
Right, and also I would kind of put the blame more on her than him.
Really, that seems sexist. A bit sexist, Michael.
No. I mean,
why is she not in control?
Well, she's in control too.
Okay, so why?
I'm
would
saying
you blame?
She's in control.
Oh, so that's exactly why you would blame her more. Right. Sorry. That's a little sexist, anti-man. Don just can't control himself because he's such a bore?
Well, I just can't picture Don, orchestrating this, internecine thing to get, you know.
I got to tell you right now.
He's going to fall into it is what I'm saying.
I got to tell you.
I can't arouse a woman.
Yeah, he said it.
He said it himself.
It's not cheating.
I got to tell you. Andrew, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
If Don had showed up to RJ's wedding, as he did, solo, as he did, and gotten wasted and made a pass at Jody, on the dance floor, where would that rank for you among the all-time shocking things in the history of mankind?
Like within in my sphere of what I've seen in this life, it'd be number one.
I would maybe apply it beyond your sphere. Just all-time things that have ever happened on planet Earth.
Probably, look, you got to have, the extinction of the dinosaurs has to be ahead of it.
Landing on the moon.
Right.
Yeah, no one, Tyson Douglas, still big.
But, look, we could be in the top 300 to 400 with that.
Yeah. I mean, Don just gets wasted. Almost, remember the scene in Old School when Will Ferrell gets accidentally shot in the neck with the dart?
Favorite movie scene ever.
That, if Don was he was that drunk, that he's walking around pulling the actual Everything's coming off of every table, every tablecloth, every napkin's on the ground. And he just goes up to Jody, grabs her shoulders and says, it's time for you to have a real man. Can you, I mean, that to
Dear
me,
God.
I think you're right. Right after the dinosaur extinction. It's right there.
Before I change the locks, I think I'd make sure to call Nancy.
Oh, to tell her?
Yeah, to destroy him.
Wow.
At the wedding, we didn't talk about this the other day. The table behind us that were, you know, I guess some of RJ's friends from Rochester who felt it was okay to, like, heckle during, like, the last, you know, the dance between the son and the mom.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, the screaming at the top of the line. I don't even know what they were screaming. Didn't fit.
Now, real quick, if you were to take the children away to an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Oh, take them away from their mother. Michael, I believe you'd be immediately arrested for kidnapping.
No.
I don't think you can do that.
Oh, I can.
I think even if the police came to you and you said, no, you don't understand. My wife had a drunken kiss with Don LaGreca.
Right.
That they wouldn't say, oh, in that case, you can steal the children. That's not.
That's just stealing. Why am I stealing something that's mine? It's mine as much as hers.
Well, undisclosed location, though. She needs to know where they are.
She'll, in due time.
This is troubling. All right. So also surprising news, maybe not as surprising as that would be Cam Newton cut by the New England Patriots.
Cam Newton's not close to that.
No. It was surprising. It was surprising.
But not like to that level.
And now Mac Jones has skyrocketed to number two in the odds for Offensive Rookie of the Year, because that is obviously
So who's
his
number
team.
One?
I would assume
Lawrence?
It's got to be Trevor Lawrence, no?
So he's skyrocketed past little Zachy.
That feels like disrespect. Let me see. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence remains the consensus number one, odds at 7-2. He's skyrocketed past Zachy Wilson. By the way, Zach Wilson's at 7-1, Trey Lance at 7-1, and Justin Fields at 13-2. Here's my hot take. Wilson's the best of the bunch.
Really? That is a hot take.
I think Wilson's the best of the bunch.
Hot take.
I don't know. I mean, people seem like they like a little mac and cheese.
They do love mac and cheese. It's going to be interesting. I mean,
I think Trevor's the best of the bunch.
I'm
just worried about Trevor's coach.
This divisional battle, though, between – it's kind of cool. If Jones and Wilson both turn out to be awesome, they're both completely getting the keys the exact same moment. We'll get to watch
Yeah,
them
but you know
head.
What? Jones is getting the keys to a Lamborghini.
Not a Lamborghini.
Well, okay, so a
it's
nice
a used
Audi.
Lamp.
A nice four-door Audi. And Zach's getting the keys to a little Kia. Nothing against Kia, but a little tiny Kia.
No, it's more like his grandfather's 1992 Oldsmobile. You know?
Or
Rambler. It's got a decent stereo, but it's cassette only. So if you want to listen to your iPhone, you have to plug it into one of the little cassette adapters.
And it's got the windows that you have to roll down manually. It doesn't.
Yeah, There's no power windows yet. They were available, of course, in the early
90s. But you didn't have, because it was too much of a package.
Yeah, his grandpa didn't splurge for the automatic windows. So, we'll see.
But maybe he's so good, he soups that baby up, and it's the idol of everybody's eyes as he's driving down the street. He has that within his power.
Very, very true.
Some metallic paint.
Got to clean things
up. Big rims.
Now, speaking of the Jets and quarterback, Sam Darnold has himself a backup in Carolina.
Who is it?
Former XFL star P.J. Walker. I'm not suggesting in this moment in 2021 that Colin Kaepernick's going to get a phone call. But remember that when he just wasn't able to back up anywhere? Not even a year later, he wasn't able to.
Did you see the Ron Rivera comment?
No, please fill me in. He's the head coach of the Washington football team.
They asked him about... Did you give any consideration of bringing in Cam? Because was Cam's coach when they went to the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. He said, yeah, we gave consideration. He said, but Fitzpatrick is our starting quarterback.
What do you make of that statement?
He's not bringing him in.
That he's not going
to Cam doesn't want to go anywhere to be a backup. He wants a chance to win a job.
Yeah, and by the way.
A little late, though, for him.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick is too unstable a starter for you to bring in Cam Newton.
I would tell you this, though, Peter. If you're not bringing him in, then people in football must think he's not even close to what he once was. Because even 75% of what Cam used to be is immeasurably better than Fitzpatrick.
No one thinks he's 75% of what he used to be.
You think he's less than that?
Oh, yeah. I think people think he's 25% of what he used to be.
I don't know if it's that.
P.J. Walker, by the way, was already in Carolina last year, but he was named the official backup to Sam. Andrew, in your opinion, 2015 Cam Newton MVP. Do you think this Cam is much better than 25% of that? I don't think he's anywhere close to him.
I mean, he had 8 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in 15 starts last year.
So you agree with me. Just say it.
8 touchdowns and 15 starts. Yeah. Now, he did rush for 12, but I don't think you can rely on that from a guy who gets banged up. And you need more through the air than that.
I mean,
You know what Cam got from New England? $2 million signing bonus and $1.5 million guaranteed, which is subject to offset if he signed somewhere else.
2015 Cam, 35 touchdowns, 10 picks, rating of 99.4, threw for nearly 4,000 yards. That year, when Cam, those couple of years where Cam was at his absolute best, really 15 was the main one, I remember just thinking he seemed unstoppable. Like, whenever they had the ball, you always felt that he could make magic happen. He was accurate. He could throw a deep ball. He could take off and run at any time. He was
always wore a good hat after a game.
His hats were not a bigger hat guy in the business.
And, Andrew, what do you think about Jalen Hurts being given the number one job in Philly?
It was very weird that they waited until today to officially announce it. I think everybody's known it for about a month. But,
well, I mean, their coach couldn't get it out of his mouth in that amount of time.
So that's why. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. Let's see. Let's find out what he's got.
You know you want Gardner Minshew.
What'd you call him?
Gardner Minshew. But it's Minshew.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, speaking of which, Andrew, how are you doing with the Ben Simmons news? He supposedly told the 76ers he has no interest in coming back.
I think that his trade value has now been crushed in doing that, which is unfortunate. If I were the Sixers, I would not bend. I would call his bluff and not just give him away in some kind of Markelle Fultz deal where they just – like the Sixers unloaded Fultz because they just couldn't stand – they couldn't have him around anymore. There just needed to be a change, so they got nothing for the former number one pick. I wouldn't do that here. I would not just take nothing just to get rid of him. If he doesn't want to report, then so be it. I would let him sit.
Here's my problem with him, Andrew. He's acting like the Sixers did something wrong to him. He's the one who can't shoot. He's the one who can't go to the free throw line. He's the one you can't keep in the game because if he gets fouled, he's going to miss foul shots. He's the one who has no outside game. He's blaming the Sixers? He's mad at them?
You're right. I agree with you. I have a feeling we'll find out a lot about what's going on. There's probably hard feelings on both sides. I'm sure the Sixers have probably said things to him behind the scenes that have hurt his feelings, but that's the MO on him, is that he needed to be catered to and pampered, and the previous regime, it sounds like, did that. I liked Brett Brown, but it sounds like he never held Ben Simmons accountable, and they're not doing that anymore. And I wonder also if after game 7, when Simmons just, he chose not to dunk, he was invisible in the series and in that fourth quarter, Joel Embiid did not have his back. And I love Embiid, but I thought that was kind of a little bit weak from Embiid after game 7 to throw Simmons under the bus a little bit in the way that he did. And I wonder if that relationship is just like irreparably damaged, and Simmons knows this organization is all in on Embiid. They just gave him a new contract. I can't be here anymore with that guy.
Andrew. I think that Embiid is very directly involved with this. You don't give a guy the contract you just gave to Embiid and not ask him, what do you think we should do with Simmons? He probably should get him out of here. We'll never win with him.
You're right. I agree with you. And if that's what Embiid, if that's what he said, I would agree with him too. If Simmons is your second best player, you can be a good team, but there's a ceiling. You're not a title contender, not with him as your second best player.
It's sad. Michael, we got to wrap here, but Have you been following anything of the high school team that was reportedly made up to get on ESPN television? Bishop Sycamore?
Just on the margins. I really don't know that much about it, to be honest.
Well, they've now parted ways with their head coach. However, there's still no address for this school. They ended up appearing on ESPN television and losing 58-0. And people actually believe that this is not a real school with a real address.
58-0.
Yeah. It's really a bizarre circumstance. And people are hard at work. Andrew, have you dug into this yet or no?
I have not. I'm sorry.
It's one of the weirder stories I've seen in some time. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, August 31st.
Don's back with us tomorrow. We have a great show starting at 2. See everybody. Dan Gross is next.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.